We are thankful to see each one here this evening. We're going to begin in Galatians chapter 5. We're dealing with sin and going through it. And with this subject, there's a couple of different angles you have to look at things to see things correctly. I don't want to mislead or ever misuse Scripture or only preach half of what's there in the Scripture. I want us to have a good understanding of what God wants us to do and what He wants us to be. And we desire your prayers that we could preach and teach this lesson in a way that be glorifying to the Lord and accomplish His will in our lives. Before we read in Galatians chapter 5, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. The Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Father, we're so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. Father, you've been good to us so much better than we deserve. And Father, we pray that you would lead, guide, and direct in the service. Father, you know the needs better than we do. And Father, you even know what's needed in this message and this teaching. And Father, we pray that as we read and study your word, we wouldn't just let it go into our ears, but Father, we'd let it get down into our hearts and that we'd be doers of your word and not hearers only. Help us to apply these things in our life and help the lost to see their need of your Son. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Galatians chapter 5, in verse 20, and he's dealing with, of course, the works of the flesh, and he talked about idolatry, witchcraft, and then we get to hatred. Hatred has caused wars. It's caused bitterness. It's caused division. It is something that lives within people that causes all kinds of problems. It causes malice out of the tongue. It causes just difficulties, and like we said, wars, division, it can do all kinds of damage. And there's many reasons for why we hate somebody or why we have hatred in our heart. Sometimes because they've done us wrong, and of course, forgiveness is needed. Sometimes because they might be living in a way that's contrary to the ways of God. And there's some of that we need to look at, because while we need to be careful with hatred, do you know hatred of sin is taught? Now, there is a correct hatred and there is a wrong hatred. Hatred for sin is correct. And hatred for wicked deeds and things that are going on that are wicked and things that are evil, that's taught in Scripture. And so some people say, well, God never hates. Well, He hates sin. He hates it. It's written all over the Scripture that He hates it. And we're taught that if God hates something, we're to hate it. And, of course, we're to hate sin within our own lives. We're to desire to remove that out of our lives. And we're even to hate sin that's out in the world, and we're to eschew it. But where we find the defining line is a lot of times people get to the place that they hate individuals instead of the sin. Well, I hate that person. I hate that individual. And sometimes we have no good reason for hating. You know, I know people that hate because, you know, where somebody was born. I mean, that's been throughout history. I mean, there's been times, you know, you go back and study history. How many times did the French fight the English? You know, how many times did the Mongols come over and fight this group or that group? And even different tribes warring against one another. And people say, well, I hate them just because of the family they belong to. Or I hate them just because of the tribe that they belong to. And that's carried on throughout history. And, of course, in our day and time, there's probably a lot of political hatred. I hate this person because they have different views and beliefs than me. And I know that we're to hate sin, and there is right, and there is things that we need to stand up for and defend, and there's even times in church that there's contention. There's even times to withdraw ourselves from one another. But I will say this, hatred should not be the cause. And we'll try to read some scriptures and deal with some of that. Beginning over in Psalms, I want to deal with the hatred of sin and look at it from one perspective, and then we'll come back and touch on some other points. But we're going to look at just three or four places in the book of Psalms. Psalm 5 and verse 5 to begin with. It says here, the foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. And notice that God hates the workers of iniquity. You say, well, preacher, that's individuals. But again, I say this, we need to make sure that even when we hate workers of iniquity, we desire their repentance. We're to pray for our enemies. The Lord says we're to bless and curse not. And we need to take all those things to heart and rightly divide them and apply them. While I hate all workers of iniquity, I still desire their repentance. And I'm even to be kind to those who have despitefully used me. I'm to be kind even to my enemies. I'm to give a cup of water to them if they're thirsty. I'm to give them something to eat if they're hungry. You know, God teaches us there's lines that we don't cross. We're to be different. We're not to love like the world loves. And we're not to even hate like the world hates. We hate the iniquity. And we need to make sure that we distinguish that. But that is something we need to see in Scripture. Psalm 97. Psalm 97, and we'll look in verse 10. Notice here it says, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. Notice that's something we're to do. And again, I'm wanting to put hatred in its proper place and what's really being taught here in the book of Galatians about hatred. It's not saying we don't hate evil or we don't hate wickedness. We're to hate those things. And if we love the Lord, we hate evil. And we eschew it. We're to eschew evil. We're to flee from it. We're to have no part with it. We're to even avoid the appearance of evil. We hate it. Now you turn on over into Psalm 119. In verse 104. He says here, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Notice what he hates, a false way. A false way we are to hate. And then over in Psalm 139, in verse 21. That's a good place to pick up. Verse 21, he says, do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. And notice that statement. Let me ask this question. Do I hate false doctrine? I hope we all do. Because it leads people to hell. I'm against false doctrine. I'll word it this way. I'll give an even clearer example. I hate the doctrines of Catholicism. I hate what they teach for salvation. I hate some of the practices that they carry on and some of the things that they've done in the past. I hate having a man-run church. Even the Lord said, I hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. I hate the doctrines of the Nicolaitans. And I do too. I hate a man-run church. It's to be a Christ-run church. Christ is the head of the church. But while saying that, I sure do hope that even the Pope would repent and trust in Christ. I carry no ill will towards them. I don't go out looking to do any harm to any individual. And I've even made this statement before. You know, I believe in the freedom of religion. I believe in every person should have the ability to meet God with a clean conscience, even if I totally disagree with their doctrine and their practices. I'll even say this. I would gladly go to jail defending a Pentecostal's right to believe what he believes. I would even die for that. Preacher, you would die for that? Yeah. Because if I don't stand up when they're coming after the Pentecostal or the Catholic or the Mormon or whoever, guess who's next? That's a dangerous game. And Baptists have always believed in the freedom of religion. They've always believed in the separation of church and state. And when you say that, that means that realistically their point of view was the church should have no, or the state should have no authority over the church. That we're religious, they should have no authority, no dealings with them. And Baptists have believed that. They fought for that. Baptists is the reason we got, really, the First Amendment of the Constitution in freedom of religion. Now, Baptists had a lot to do with that. And that what that was is freedom of conscience. And we were not only fighting for our own freedom of conscience, which we had dealt with over the centuries and been persecuted not only by the Catholics, but then the Protestants, and on down the line and faced persecution for preaching the gospel. We wanted others to have that freedom. We wanted others. We did not want a state-run church. Do you know that each individual state at different times tried to have some denomination be their state religion? Right here in America? We fought against that. And there were people at some times even coming up and say, but we could have the Baptist church as our state religion. We said, no, we don't want that. It was Baptists that said, we don't want that. Because we believe that an individual has to trust in his heart in Christ, and an individual must be accountable to God for what they do. We believe in that individual responsibility and liberty. And we need to still believe in that. And while I can strongly disagree with somebody's false doctrine, I will still fight for their ability to have it. Because that not only defends them, it defends me at the same time. But now, do I hate them that hate the Lord? I do. Do I hate atheists or atheism? I do. But I pray for atheists to repent and believe the gospel. Do I hate many people that are out there doing evil and living evil and talking ill against the Lord? There's all kinds of people today doing that. But I can look at them and I can have this bitterness and malice in my heart towards them, and that's wrong. What I should desire is that they repent, that they turn, and God give me the patience and wisdom to deal with them in a way that be pleasing and honorable to the Lord. But there's still a hatred that is involved. But you've got to divide it and put it in its proper place. Do I hate them? O Lord, do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am I grieved with those that rise up against thee? There's a grievance when we hear people that are going against the Lord and fighting against Him. Look, it grieves me to hear people fight for abortion and wanting to murder children. That grieves me. Euthanasia grieves me. The push of homosexuality, transgender, that stuff grieves me. It bothers me, and it should bother us. It should move us, and there is to be a hatred for the sin, but you need to be very careful. You will let it become malice, you will let it become bitterness, you will let it become all kinds of things that will get you out of the ways of the Lord. He said, I hate them with perfect hatred. And notice the wording there. I hate them with perfect hatred. Not a manly hatred. Not a sinful flesh hatred. He hates them in a godly way. Now, I will preach against false doctrine. I'll preach against false ways. And I'll preach against it strongly. There's sometimes that people think, well, you just hate me. You're against me. No, I'm against something that'll lead you to hell. I'm against something that'll mislead others. I'm against something being promoted that will cause people to lose out on treasures in heaven. And so there's things that I've got to stand up for. But I still love the people and want them to be saved. I want them to repent of their false doctrine. And notice as he's dealing with them, he said, I count them mine enemies. And I mean, that's a strong statement. I count them mine enemies. But then again, how are we to love our enemies? And again, rightly dividing and taking these things in context. And so he comes down in verse 23 and then he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. And so as we deal with a pure hatred, a perfect hatred, and then we're very careful not to enter into a sinful hatred, we need God to search our hearts and make sure that our hearts are in a way that is pleasing and honorable to Him. And we need to be very careful with these things. Because, see, the Bible teaches us to not let the sun go down upon our wrath. Be ye angry and sin not. And we need to make sure that we don't let our emotions, even our hatred for sin, lead us into being a person that God would be ashamed of. That we let it lead us into sinful thoughts, a sinful life. Well, how do we divide all that? Well, I'm going to look at a few scriptures. There's a few scriptures I'll try to read over that is against hatred. First of all, in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 17. Leviticus 19, verse 17. It says here, "Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him." There's a difference between rebuking and suffering sin upon them. We need to be very careful, and we're not to hate our brother in our heart. And I know even in families sometimes people say, "Well, my family member's done this, my family member's done that." Look, we've all probably had bad things happen to us in our families. I don't know too many families that don't somewhere down the line have some kind of a disagreement. But you can disagree with somebody and still love them. Even in church sometimes, look. You look at Paul and Barnabas. Did they not have contention? I mean, it's written in the Bible, contention that they had over Mark. They even divided over that. They went separate ways over that. Y'all ever think that Paul hated Barnabas? Or realistically even hated Mark? Later on, he says that Mark was profitable unto him. Now, there are times there will be disagreements amongst God's people. But we need to make sure that we don't let it go to hatred. In the same way in our families. There will be disagreements. Don't let it go to hatred. Don't let it go to bitterness. Don't definitely let it go to malice where you're seeking their hurt or their harm. Or wishing them any ill will. You don't need to let it get there. If you turn over in the book of Proverbs, there's several scriptures. We're only going to read a couple in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 12. And this is kind of what we alluded to at the beginning. It said, "Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins." In the New Testament, we also see that love covers a multitude of sins. And so whenever we get to the place that hatred comes in, look, you can get sometimes 20, 30, 40, 50 years later and people will still be griping at people over some argument they had years ago. There's sometimes they won't even go to one another's funeral. One of them dies. I've seen brothers and sisters not go to one another's funeral. I've seen that before. And it's just hatred. And I think it would be a harmful thing if you look back and said, "Man, I had so much bitterness and hatred in my heart that I couldn't even go and wish the rest of the family well in a time of trouble, in a time of grief." I tell you what, that's gotten to a very horrible place, isn't it? And that's the hatred that you see that's being talked about over in the book of Galatians. Is it's dealing with that bitterness that gets in, that unforgiveness, that you just look at the person and you're angry. Look, I've seen it even in church before. Somebody walk in, they sit on one side of the church, somebody will get up from their seat and walk to the other side of the church. They don't even want to be near each other. That kind of bitterness where you can't even sit beside somebody. You're not being asked to have a conversation with them even at that point. I've seen people, you know, they'll walk out on people. They'll just act like they're not even there. And let's be honest about that. That's just childish. Even people I totally disagree with, I can still show respect to them. I still can. I've tried to tell people, I said, "Look, if I happened to be somewhere and Joe Biden was walking by and me and him have different beliefs as far apart as night is day. I mean, we do not see eye to eye. You know how I would greet him if I saw him? I'd shake his hand and say, Mr. President. If I stood before a judge, you look at how Paul went before Agrippa and Felix and others. And they were putting people in prison. Look at the way he dealt with the Jews, even seeking their salvation, even though they had him beaten, thrown in prison. Now, they were his enemies, weren't they? But he sought their salvation. And he would not respond in kind to them. We need to make sure that vengeance is not in our heart, and that comes from hatred. We need to be careful because it stirreth up strife. Over in Proverbs 15, in verse 17, it says, better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. You ever sat down at a meal with somebody you couldn't stand? They may have hated you. You might have had hatred for them. Whatever the case may be, that's a miserable place to be. Look, I hope we have enough forgiveness, mercy, long-suffering, peace in our heart that we could sit across somebody that we absolutely have disdain for, maybe, for what they do and how they live, and we could still be courteous. But sadly, there's times when people just let hatred overcome them and it controls them. And look, you can't hear straight when hatred's in your heart. No matter what the person says, you'll twist it in your mind. You'll misuse it. You let hatred control everything that's within you, and you cannot judge righteously. You know, if you were in a court case, wouldn't you want some people that could hear the facts and make a righteous judgment? But if somebody comes in there saying, well, I don't like that person, maybe because of their skin color or what side of the street they're from or what family they're from, or maybe they have money or don't have money or whatever the reason is, there's millions of reasons why people hate. But I tell you what, I sure wouldn't want anybody, if I was on trial, to already have hatred in their heart toward me where they couldn't hear the facts. And while we might not be in a trial situation sometimes, every time we're dealing with somebody, we need to make sure that we hear correctly. To be able to have dialogue, to talk, how can I reach even my enemies with the gospel? And look, all those that have not trusted Christ are the enemies of God. So we might be contrary to one another, but if I go to them just attacking them and have bitterness and hatred, you know, it's kind of like you look at Jonah and the way that he dealt with Nineveh. God had to force him to preach the message. That's a shameful thing, isn't it? We look at the book of Jonah, man, he just wanted them people dead. He wanted God to just pour down his wrath upon them. And we look at Jonah and we say, man, that is a horrible situation. You know what? Hatred got the best of Jonah, didn't it? And God tried to correct him. And look, that correction is there for our benefit. That correction there is to get us to see, hey, you don't need to be this way. People can repent. People can turn. And we need to learn from it or it will consume us. Then, in the book of 1 John, we'll end with a couple of passages from 1 John. I know that you could read lengthy here. I could go to 1 John chapter 2, chapter 3, and over into chapter 4, and there is a long list of things that would deal with hatred. And those are some good scriptures to look at. But for the sake of time, we'll try to condense some things down. It says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 9, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. Hatred blinds us. That's what it does. And there are people that say, oh, I'm in God and God's in me and I've got a great relationship with the Lord. But God says if we hate our brother, his love is not within us. You say, is he saying we're not saved? That's not what he's saying. He's saying that we're not being led of his Spirit and we're not accomplishing his will. In other words, we're living a life that is of no profit unto the Lord when we let hatred consume us. You let a woman hate her husband. Can she ever be the wife that she needs to be if hatred's in her heart towards her husband? Can a husband be the husband he needs to be if he has hatred in his heart towards his wife? Can a pastor be the pastor he needs to be if he hates the people that he's an overseer of, he's the under-shepherd of? You can't do those things. Can a church be the light in the community that it needs to be if the brothers and sisters in Christ are at one another's throat? It can't. It's impossible. Can we truly be seekers of peace when we desire to see our enemies destroyed and vengeance upon them? You can't have peace that way. Now, I know there's times when the enemy doesn't want peace. But we're to seek peace and ensue it. With everything that's within us, we're to strive to live peaceably with all men. I know there are times that you might not can live peaceably with somebody. I know those times might arise. But we as God's people are to seek it with everything that's within us. And then over in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 15. And I mean, it gets plain here. And I know Jesus dealt with this even on the Sermon on the Mount about hatred in our heart. He said, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. There's a lot of people, I'd never commit murder. I'd never do something like that. But the Bible says if you have hatred in your heart, you're a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. I tell you, hatred is an ugly thing. Later on, it would even go into the place of saying, how can you say that you love God whom you have not seen and love not your brother whom you have seen? And I believe there's to be a special love amongst brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, I know there's people that say that they're of Christ, and by their own testimony, they serve a far different Christ than we do. But there is supposed to be a special love amongst God's people. Amongst people who have really trusted in Christ. And yet sometimes people see fightings and bitterness. Some people say, I'll never forgive that person. I'll never be around that person ever again. I hope something bad happens to that person. Look, that shouldn't come out of a Christian's mouth. And even for lost people, even for our enemies, you know, I've heard some Christians say one time, well, I hope that person goes straight to hell. And that's just a line that people use. And they're saying, I hope they burst hell wide open and all this. Look, I want people to be saved. I want my worst enemy to be saved. I want people who have back-talked me and you know, they've run me down the road and lied upon me and done different things. I pray they repent. I do. And look, I'm as human as the next person. That stuff hurts me. And I certainly had to go to God and say, God, help me with forgiveness. Help me get past this. I understand the human side of that. But as a Christian, I cannot reflect the light of Christ. Well, I am carrying bitterness and hatred in my heart. I can't do it. I cannot be what God would have me to be if I'm letting hatred and bitterness control me. And that's what he was talking about back in Galatians chapter 5 when he talked about the sins of the flesh and the fruit of the flesh with hatred. Are we to hate sin? We absolutely are. Are we to hate workers of iniquity? We absolutely are. Are we even to love our enemies? You say, preacher, that's a contradiction. We're to hate those that are against the Lord and at the same time love them? Yes, We hate what they're doing, and we're praying that they will repent. If God, peradventure, would give them the opportunity to come to the knowledge of the truth, that they would turn and be saved. And sometimes the way we point them to that is we heat coals of fire upon them. We do good even unto our enemies. We pray for them that despitefully use us. We don't pray for them to be able to continue in sin. We pray that God would open their eyes to the truth. And we need to be careful. Hatred's a word that has a lot of study. And I know sometimes people say, I tell you what, those lines of division sure are hard to see sometimes. I think you'll know it in your heart. If you'll be close to the Lord, you'll know when bitterness is setting in. When you don't even want to share the gospel with somebody. When you wouldn't even want to see them saved or repent. I tell you what, your heart's gotten to a bad place. It's gotten to a place where you have angered in sin instead of being angry and sinning not. We need to be careful to walk that line delicately and to make sure we're where God wants us to be. Because if not, hatred is something that eateth like a canker. It eats like cancer. It'll destroy you from the inside out. There are many churches that have never gotten over hatred and they can never move on. I'll give this example before we close, because I want us to look as God's people as much as anything and look at ourselves and be what God would have us to be. You know, I went to a church one time, and as a missionary, you go to small churches sometimes, you try to help them. And it seemed like every time you were in service, well, I can't stand this person. This person don't come to church. This person don't do this. And look, it was just constant bickering, backbiting. And I mean, look, I'll tell you, it was so bad you could have had only two or three in a conference and there would be division. You couldn't get two to agree on anything. There was just so much bitterness there. And look, that has happened probably to a number of churches and even families over the years. It is not good. And more than that, it is not godly. And it will destroy us from the inside out. While I will stand against wrong, while I will stand against false doctrine, while I stand up for what's right, I pray by the help of the Lord, I never let it become a personal thing between me and an individual. Our fight is not with flesh and blood. And let us not forget that. I am not here to step on somebody else. I'm not here to tear up somebody else and to try to pull them down, try to say how evil and bad they are and all this. I'll talk about the sin. I'll try to preach against it. But the individual, I should be able to sit down with anybody and be able to deal with them in a respectful way, to have a conversation with them, and to mostly point them to Christ. And if I can't do that, there is a problem with inside of me that I need to go to God and deal with. We do not need to let hatred control us. Even things that have gone on in the past that have happened in our lives. Give another example. Some people have had bad experiences with maybe even people of different races before. And yet they let that control their mind. Well, I had a bad experience with this white person. Maybe a black person will say that. And so therefore they hate all white people. Well, that's wrong, isn't it? Maybe I had a bad experience with somebody that was black or somebody that was Hispanic. Does that give me a right to hate every single black person or Hispanic that's out there? It doesn't. To judge righteous judgment, I will judge them individually. I will look at their individual works and judge them from an individual perspective. We need to make sure that we don't let our emotions control us to where we can't have respect one for another, even for our enemies, and deal with them in a respectful way. Even as we share the gospel, we're to speak the truth, but how are we to speak it? Out of bitterness, hatred, anger? He said, speak the truth in love. And let us remember that as we go forward. This is the burden God has given us. If you'd have anything upon your heart, I invite you to come. We'll have a verse of a song.